Hello, my name is Michael Cox, and you're listening to Michael's Office, a place which hosts my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about things happening in the entertainment world today. This week, I'll be talking about a number of things, like the anonymous Oscar ballots coming out and what that could mean for the Oscars, the films I watched this week, and I'll be having a review for the Falcon and Winter Soldier series, and more. So make sure to stick around for that. And please, step into my office. And we're back. Finally, I am in a... not a rudimentary. I was going to say rudimentary. I guess you could say rudimentary. A recurring... pattern or something. I'm trying to get back into the pattern of recording these episodes and doing these episodes so I can be hopefully on another podcast. I think after Oscars night, Sunday or Monday, I don't know when, but I am going to be on another podcast. So there is that, and I'll let you guys know what it is. I'll advertise it in the next episode. Probably, maybe, I don't know. But right now, my focus is on schoolwork and finals, among other things. But also, I can't speak. Sorry, it's late. But right now, I'm also focusing on the 1X I'm in. Yes, 1X with an S. Not just in one act, I'm in two. There's five, so it's not like, oh, that's only a little, there's like 13, you're only two, haha, you said. No, it's just I'm in just two. And I'm glad that I'm in two. I'm not in a lot looking back at it. I've really enjoyed it. I haven't had much involvement in it. The rehearsal process has been super easy and super laid back. It's not as grueling or intense as some rehearsals for like the main stage shows. It's been really easy, and the memorizations come along really well. I basically have all my lines down. I just have a couple more. I just need to look over and practice, and I think I'll be good. By performance day, which is this Tuesday on the 27th at MoBAP University, the Myriad One Act Festival. If you're in the St. Louis area, please get your tickets at MBUBoxOffice.com, and it's free. It's just free. You just got to reserve your spot. And it's a one night event, so get your tickets and stuff. Two one acts I'm in. One of them is called Action News, with 10% more action. It is kind of like a satire on news networks now. It's really over the top and goofy and silly and a whole lot of fun. Literally, the director, Bradley Bivin, who's great, he's literally just spouted things, and we just... I make it sound bad. He just throws ideas out there of what would make it even funnier, and we're just laughing and having a great time. And it's just a great time in rehearsal. It's a joy to be at rehearsal. It's like he makes it so much fun to be there. I mean, I love having rehearsal, but he makes it even more fun because he's always just throwing things at the wall and hoping they stick. And he's just giving us a lot of creative freedom. We're just asking him, hey, what should we do this? And like, yeah, he'll point us in the right direction. He's just giving us a lot more freedom. Even more freedom than usually we get. He's just putting it all in us and laying it all in us because he knows this is for our grade as well. And we just want to do the best we can. I apologize. And I am just super excited to put it on. The other one act I'm in is called Thank You for Flushing and Other Rarely Used Expressions. It's like it's a kind of a comedy. It deals with serious serious themes. Deals with bullying and finding a sense of belonging and just things that a lot of high schoolers go through. And it deals with them in an interesting way. And it also deals with mental health in an interesting way. It's a really interesting show, and it ends on a note I don't think anybody will expect. And it ends on a powerful note. And I'm really excited to be a part of it. I don't have much of a big part of it, but it's still a show that I'm proud that I'm part of. And I, even though I don't have a lot of lines, I think I still play an important factor in how the play goes down and how the story occurs. And I'm really proud I got this part, even though these parts, I'm playing two characters in that. But I do feel like even though I don't have many lines, again, I do have a important part to play in this little play. And I hope you guys see it. It's going to be really great. There are some more. I don't know what it's called, but there's this all-female bridegroom thing where it's basically they're just I think it's like they're at a wedding and they're all bickering, and it seems like it's really funny. Because they're all laughing when I see them in rehearsal, having a good time. And then another one is like this. It's like a secret agent thing, but it's like, again, it's like taking place in high school, and I think it's going to be parodying a lot of things that go on in high school. And then Claire Bauer, I don't know what her play's about, but it seems like it's going to be a heavy thing. I think it's going to be like a dramedy. I think it might be a dramedy. I don't know. I just know it's going to be a little bit heavy, and it's going to be interesting as well. But yeah, go see the Myriad One Act Festival. It is the 27th at 7:30 p.m. at MoBAP University in the Performance Hall. Get your tickets. Reserve your spot. It's free. Go see it. Enjoy some theater, the last piece of theater that MoBAP is going to put on for the 2020 through 2021 season. We made it. We just have one show to go. All right. Next thing is the Oscars have been interesting. This award season has been interesting, but the Oscars could be interesting tomorrow. I'm recording this the 24th. So Oscar night is tomorrow night. Anonymous Oscar ballots came out like they always do. Last year, it gave us an idea of what could win. And right now, a lot of things are up in the air. People are making last minute predictions. For example, we saw a number of votes for Yoo Young Jung. That's again, that looks like she's a lock for sure. Same thing with Daniel Kaluuya, I'm pretty sure. Most of the votes I read are for Daniel Kaluuya, and all the votes I read are for Yoo Young Jung and Minari, which is good, but actress is still anyone's game. But I do think that Carey Mulligan's going to take it because it feels like her time, as I said before. Feels like her time. And a number of recent ones say that Carey Mulligan could take it. But the thing that caught my eye the most in all these Oscar ballots is that there is this consistent mentality that Chadwick Boseman's going to win, but Anthony Hopkins deserves it. So I'm voting for him. And then, again, I may reverse it. But Chadwick Boseman's going to win anyway, so my vote doesn't matter. I'm just going to vote for Anthony Hopkins. With that type of mentality, that is looking rather bad for Bozeman's chances. It's looking rather bad for his chances. And he could easily not get an Oscar. And I would be so happy if Anthony Hopkins walked away with the Oscar on this one. But I do feel like we should reward Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick Boseman's deserving in his own right. But it is interesting. I might change it to Anthony Hopkins. I'm gonna keep with Chadwick Boseman. If I'm wrong, I'm like, yeah, I should have saw it coming. That was the Glenn Close, Olivia Colman thing. But I definitely see Hopkins. I could definitely see Hopkins upsetting. And it would be a great upset. I think a lot of people would be happy if that happened. But I do believe that Boseman's gonna take it. And another one is like Nomadland cannot win. I've seen a lot of love for Promising Young Woman. I've seen a lot of love for it. And the same thing with Judas and the Black Messiah has gotten a lot of love, which is great. That's all I have to say. I would say if you're doing predictions, make sure to be on the lookout for that. After that is the big thing for you waiting on that. Falcon and the Winter Soldier just finished up last night or yesterday. The last episode, the finale of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, was released to the public on Disney Plus. And I've watched the series from beginning to end. I also watched WandaVision, so I'll talk about that too. I like to post a little review on Letterboxd. But this is going to be where it's going to be in-depth. And I would say Falcon and the Winter Soldier had a good start. It didn't hook me as much as WandaVision did. But it showed promise. I'm like, okay, this show is going to get better. And it was getting better and better as time went on. And then kind of like plateaued. It just was like, we'd go through a lot of highs and lows, then they would bounce up. It would just plateau. It just plateaued. Really. Like, the action's good. The action is what I want. I love hand-to-hand combat. I like more grounded stuff. Instead of big CGI stuff that Marvel's tends to do. Which is why I was so disappointed in WandaVision, because it ended up being like some Marvel movie. And I mean, you could argue that this was just one really long Marvel movie. And that's what kind of these are turning out to be. They're just really long Marvel movies. And some people really like that. But I just want these to be different. In the cinematography is a lot different from what we've, like, definitely different from what we've gotten from a lot of Marvel movies. They're all like, they all look very different. But it's you just can't escape that Marvel thing that it falls in. The Marvel trap it falls into. It just has to stay the same thing. It can't really take many risks. And it never really gripped, as I said, it never gripped me like WandaVision did. It was slow. Sometimes I pick up the pace, but most of the part it was slow. At least with WandaVision, the slow pace was backed up by its intrigue. Like, why is this happening? What's going on? I need to know. That's what hooked me. Here, it's just slow because it, I mean, I'm making it sound like it's a bad thing. It's not. It's slow because it took care, where character development took precedent, take too much precedent over the pacing. And, yeah. But the positives are the action is good. I love the banter between, and the growth between Sam and Bucky. Their banter was great. It was really funny. It was really entertaining. And Zemo, like Daniel Brühl, is incredible. He's charismatic. He's funny. He has a very layered performance. I remember a person brought him up. His performance is very layered. And George St. Pierre, GSP, he's always welcome. I always love it when I see him fight. Ugh. I'm like, ugh. When I saw GSP was back in this, I was so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, is he the main villain? He was not. he was like a side villain, and it made me really sad. He would have been a great main villain. And the main villain is a twist villain, and it's really dumb who the main villain is. I'm not going to spoil it. It's just really dumb. A person pointed out the logic, and I'm like, yeah, that makes no sense. I'm like, at first it's like, oh, this is shocking. Oh my gosh. And then you think about it. And you're like, wait, no, that's just dumb. It's just there for shock value. It don't make much sense. Another problem I have with it is the fact that it forces its political messaging, and it's very shallow. It's very shallow on how it talks about the subject matters at hand. It's very, again, it's surface level and shallow. Like, it just brings it up, and it comes off as really cringy and like that liberal, like virtue signaling. It just feels like it's like, if you could see my face, I'd be back and like, ooh, okay. Like I agree with you, or it's like, it's just too much, you know, like it's too much of like being surface. Like, I don't mind if it's good at explaining its material or subtle. It's just over the top, in your face, and it's surface level. So it's like, I appreciate you bringing aware to a general audience, but it's just so, again, it's like, I wish they could have written this better. And then Anthony Mackie has a monologue or a speech in quotations, which is just, again, it's cringy. And I'm like, I was rolling my eyes. And the writing was not good. It was, again, forced. It felt forced. I appreciate its sentimentality and what it's trying to say, but it was just written badly. Written badly. And when I say, like, liberal, it's like that one, like the liberals who don't go farther than posting the blacks square and saying, I did my social justice thing for the day. I'm done. I'm a good person now. And they barely research it. They just go off of like headlines and stuff. That's what it felt like. It was just, again, I'm repeating myself over and over again. I know. I apologize, but it's, again, surface level and shallow and in your face and not in a good way. So if I were to rate it based on Letterboxd, I'd give it a 3.25 out of 5. It's kind of good. It's better than decent. It's just disappointing. I was excited for this one. I'm intrigued by Loki, though. Intrigued by Loki. Yeah. That is Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Next, I watched... Here's some of the films I watched. I watched Ed Wood and The Skin I Live In for the film club I'm in. And yeah, let's start with Ed Wood. There are two very different films that were suggested that week. Yes, we have two films suggested a week for a film club. And Ed Wood's really funny. It's heartfelt. It's a better Mank. It's what Mank tried to be. If any of you guys who are listening, or guy who are listening, who is listening, who are, English is weird. It was what Mank was trying to do, but better. Like the part where it's like the artist's vision is always going to be meddled with. You're always going to have obstacles in your way when it comes to trying to make sure your vision is known and is seen and is what you want to do. And it just handles that better. And it's in black and white. And it's got a better lead performance and better performances all around than Mank. It feels like the black and white cinematography, while looks better in Mank, it's still got that digital feature. It's not as, I would say, while Mank is edited better because it's a David Fincher film. It's just got a better script. It's just got better characters. It's like everything that Ed Wood did, it did better than Mank. Or whatever, or reverse it. Whatever Mank did, Ed Wood did it better and did it first. And yeah, Johnny Depp was great. He was different here. I loved his energy. But again, it's Martin Landau who won an Oscar for his performance, who stunned me. He was incredible. I've mentioned it multiple times. I mentioned in my review of this film and also in when we discussed it. He was equal parts tragic as he was hilarious. Yeah. And then after that, the other one I watched, The Skin I Live In, this was a disturbing film. So, Pedro Almodovar, what the frick, dude? Like, it's just, at surface level, like, at the beginning, it's like, oh, this is kind of odd. It's weird. It's a very weird film. But then when the major twist happened, you're like, what the fudge? And then the more you think about it, the more it gets under your skin. I will say it's an interesting take on the Frankenstein tale. That's all I will say. Antonio Banderas, he's amazing. It's a really well-acted film. It's also good. Looks really nice. It's a Pedro Almodovar film. So, yeah. I watched The Skin I Live In. After that, I watched another film, Club One. And it's called Belly, the DMX movie, the DMX Nos movie. This was chosen because DMX died, and it was chosen in honor of him. Rest in peace. I didn't have much of an impact. He didn't have much of an impact on my life, but he mattered to a lot of people when we watched it. And this was so different. It was shot like a hip-hop music video from the 90s. A person tried to say it was like a Terrence Malick film if he put black people in there. And I get where it's coming from because it's very meditative on a lot of like ghetto culture and like self-improvement and there's a lot of self-reflection and narrations there, and it's got a deeper meaning about the glorification that hip hop and ghetto culture places over sex and violence and drugs, and it was really interesting. I liked it. I did like it. I liked it. It was just It was just really poorly written at some at times, and it was not acted well at all. Sometimes it was paced pretty bad too. But yeah, it was fine. Then I saw Woody Allen's Blue Jasmine. Really well acted film. The script's really good. It's just, I didn't like it. I did not like this. I felt like I was supposed to laugh and find it funny, when instead I found it really ugly and tragic. Mostly ugly. I didn't like the characters. I hated the characters. I really despised them. The performances are amazing. Oh my gosh. Incredible. Incredible performances. Incredible performances. But, of course, like Kate Blanchett, who's insane. She's so good. She's so good. And Sally Hawkins is also amazing. Like, we just need to recognize Sally Hawkins. Like, she doesn't get the credit she deserves. Yeah, it's ugly and not as funny as I wanted it to be. I thought I was going to love it, and I was just left disappointed. And then I watched another film club pick I'm in. This is the same film club that recommended Boy. Belly. This is Boy. A Taika Waititi film. I was excited. I've seen two before this. It was Thor Ragnarok, which was my first. And then I watched Jojo Rabbit. And then I watched this. And it's funny. It's got heart. It's cute. It's just disappointing. It needed a lot more humor that landed. It needed a lot more heart. Just needed a lot more. And I was left disappointed. Like, there are a lot of jokes that I really liked. Like the way he saw his dad, and the whole Michael Jackson thing that was going on was really funny. Again, it's really cute. I loved his relationship with his dad. But yeah, I was just disappointed. And then I saw another film club. This is a different one. And we watched the horrible masterpiece known as Come and See. And when I say horrible, I mean that in a good way. It is the worst, one of the worst films I've ever seen in a good way. That sounds like a contradiction. I know. But it is the best anti-war film I've ever seen. It is one of the most terrifying films I have ever seen. It is one of the most brutal films I've ever seen. And it was, again, one of the worst films I've ever seen. It is going to traumatize you. It is going to sear in your mind forever. Its reputation is well deserved. Everything you hear about it is deserved. It is a frightening film, and it doesn't hold anything back for the best. It is a required viewing. You're going to be scarred in the best way, and it really doesn't want to make me go to war. War really transforms a person in the worst ways. It really reveals a person's heart, as this film tries to suggest. It reveals a person's heart and pushes us to places we don't want to go. A brilliant film. It is seriously one of the greatest films ever made, but is also one of the most terrifying, and it is not one I want to revisit anytime soon. Unless I am watching it with my whole family and I'm showing somebody else. It has to be with somebody else. Like, everyone has to watch it. It's like, how far can you watch this? Just when it gets to the second hour is when I had a very visceral reaction to it. Like, my whole body was shaking. I was literally, like, there's this thing called shaking and crying. I was literally shaking. There was shaking and crying. There was less crying. It was just shaking. Wasn't like the, it was just like I had a very violent reaction to it. Very violent. The film was violent, but it was just, my body just reacted in a variety of ways. After that, I watched another film called Pick, and that was the same one that I watched. Oh, shoot. I watched The Diving Bell and The Butterfly as well. I'm going to talk about them both. Both French, both emotionally draining. I just had an emotionally draining. I watched The Diving Bell and The Butterfly, and then I watched Come and See, and then I watched Tomboy. So Diving Bell and The Butterfly is based on the book where a guy is basically paralyzed from head to toe, and his only his left eye works. And it was so sad. It was so sad. It was big sad. Mathieu Amalric is amazing. Max von Sydow is amazing. And it's just sad. It's just really sad. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. And after that, I watched Tomboy, which is about this tomboy. It's by Celine Sciamma. It's directed by her and it's written by her. And that's my second one because I've only seen Portrait of Lady on Fire. I plan on seeing like one or two more. But yeah, it's not as incredible or amazing as Portrait of Lady on Fire. It's hard because it's like one of my favorite films of all time. But it's still beautiful and genuine. Like, Celine Sciamma has a knack for creating really genuine films and get really genuine performances out of her actors. And this was no exception. Like, all the kids felt really genuine and natural. And I love the main characters and their sister's relationship. And what Tomboy's about, as I said, is about this tomboy who lies about their gender and their name and pretends to be a boy. It's a girl that's a tomboy, as I said. And she does it to blend in, but it deals with a lot of interesting topics like gender identity and stuff. But yeah, it's still heartbreaking and it's still really beautiful. There's no film that could have been directed other than by Celine Sciamma. And then next we have Rush, which is Ron Howard's best film, in my opinion. I have not seen Apollo 13, so please forgive me. But it's just incredible. It's a blast of fun. It's really great. The races were intense. It's got two incredible performances from Chris Hemsworth and Daniel Brühl. I mentioned Brühl, sorry. I want to pronounce it the right way. Brühl, that's probably right, Brühl. And I mentioned him earlier in the podcast with his part in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. He plays Zemo. He's here. He should have been nominated. He just should have. I don't think he should have won, but I do think he should have been nominated. He's that good. He's so good here. And Chris Hemsworth was also really good, but it's really Daniel Brühl who gives it his all. Yeah. I recommend you guys watch it. If you love Ford vs. Ferrari, I recommend that you check this one out because it's really interesting. After that, today I watched Rush. Rush. The reason I said Rush is because I was deleting it from my topic so I can just clear it out. I watched Finest Hour. Finest Hour is a fan edit which combines Darkest Hour and Dunkirk because they came out the same year and deal with the same things. And it was brilliant. The editing was top-notch. It's just top-notch, like all around. Like, it would take the score from Dunkirk in certain scenes and... No, it's not from certain scenes. They take the score from Dunkirk and insert in some scenes of Darkest Hour. And Dunkirk would have the same camera filter or whatever that Darkest Hour had. And you get both things. You get the great performance from Gary Oldman, the Oscar-winning performance from Gary Oldman, and you get the intensity from Dunkirk. And instead of it being non-linear like Dunkirk, it's all turned linearly, and it's really interesting how they go together. If I told you this was a film, you would absolutely buy it. You would completely buy it. I mean, the only time you tell the difference is the way the film is shot sometimes, like the camera angles and stuff, but and the way certain scenes are paced. But you would not, if I told you this was a film, you'd believe it. That's how good of an edit it is. I'm sorry, it's really late. But yeah. Other than that, the big problem is it kind of undermines Dunkirk, the purpose of Dunkirk, but it's still an epic, and I highly recommend you check it out if you're at least intrigued by the concept. Finally, two trailers came out. And it is the Shang-Chi trailer from Marvel and then the Annette trailer. Shang-Chi looks really great. I had a bunch of fun. Some people were just like, it's bland. Well, I love Marvel. Granted, I love different films more, but I still have a soft spot for it. This looks different. It's a martial arts oriented superhero film. So the choreography looks really great. I think it's going to be Awkwafina who's going to be delivering a lot of jokes, which is great. I love Awkwafina. She could be a little bit much. Like, if she doesn't have the right script or a fun enough script, she can be a bit much. Like, I feel like she's a little bit much in Raya the Last Dragon. Just a little bit much. That's it. I absolutely loved her. She was so funny in Jumanji 2. She was so funny. And she was just, overall, she was just really good. 2019 was just a really good for her year for her with the Farewell and stuff. But it looks different from what Marvel is doing. And it looks fun. It looks action-packed. And it just, I'm excited for it. I'm more excited for it than I am for Black Widow, which is sad because Black Widow's a better character and she should have gotten her movie a long time ago. But I'm excited for both Marvel products, but this got me a little bit more excited for it. And then we have the very promising looking Annette, which is looking like a new La La Land. It's basically looking like a movie musical that I think critics are really going to love. It looks weird and different, but it looks like it's a big Oscar contender, and it just looks amazing. It looks amazing. It looks like Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard are going to be back in the Oscar conversation. It looks like Adam Driver's going to get his first Oscar if he delivers on what the trailer promises. And if he can sing, he has the narrative. He has the narrative going for him. I'm really excited for that as well, and see what musical numbers we get. Yeah, I think that's gonna be it. Oh no, I lied. Shakespeare's birthday was yesterday, and I do want to talk about this. I love Shakespeare. I love the Bard. A lot of his plays, I love them. But we just finished King Lear, and it's a really great play. Just finished King Lear. It sounded like I was in a production. No, we finished reading King Lear and acting too, and I loved it. I loved speaking it. I just couldn't wait to recite the beautiful dialect and understanding what was going on was just a treat. It's just a treat to understand Shakespeare and to speak it. And it gives a lot of actors a lot to work with. But a lot of people don't appreciate it like I do, and it makes me really sad. And I just want to wish him happy birthday. I'll go into... You know what? Frick it. I'll go into it now. Reason why I love Shakespeare, other than the dialect and the amazing stories he tells and the complex characters, and the impeccably written insults, like he has some of the best insults. Nobody can write an insult like Shakespeare can. It's the fact, well, basically those are the things like on the surface, but it's the fact that his themes and his plays can be told over and over again. And his stories can be told over and over again in incredibly creative ways. And it's such a unique experience to go see Shakespeare. Because if you're in the theater, there is nothing like going to see a quality Shakespeare production in person. Because if you get a quality Shakespeare production and people who know what they're doing, you're in for experience you're never going to forget. Because one thing about Shakespeare is that it's very interactive with the audience. They like to talk to the audience and like invite them in, like encourage them to be a part of it. And then also, if actors are really into their character, they sometimes would ad-lib their lines to... If it's a comedy, I'm just saying they would ad-lib their lines to add comedic... efficiency? I don't know. To make it funnier, to make the lines funnier, and make the audience more, like, a lot more entertained, they would ad-lib their lines, and it's really funny when they do it. But people wonder why Shakespeare keeps getting adapted and there are more productions of it. Like why it keeps getting made into movies. Well, for one, it's really cheap to do it because it's public. There's public access or whatever. Like it's super easy to do it. Like it's cheap. Like it's free. Cost no money. You have so much freedom to do with it because it doesn't say, this is the time. It is 1760 or it's 1469. They don't say it like that. You can do it however you want. Even if it's like a history like Richard III or Henry V, you have freedom to do it however you want. You have freedom to do it however you want. And depending on where you set it, it can make the story and the themes you want to present all the more powerful. I saw a film adaptation of Coriolanus, and it was set in modern day. And it just, without the Shakespearean dialect, the way it was shot and the way it was acted, made it feel like it was a film made now. Like the story is like, wow, this is a story I know now. It just proves to me and showed me that the reason why Shakespeare's adaptations keep getting made over and over again is because the director has a story he wants to tell. And it proves that his themes, the bard's themes and stories, are endlessly relevant, always timely. And again, using the term relevant, universally relevant. They will always be relevant, and they will always be timely. And there will always be need of the bard to remind us that we have not changed since these plays have written. Have been written. So, yeah, that's the importance of Shakespeare and why I love him so much. And if you need to just check one out, just get a No Fear Shakespeare translation and read it. You're going to have a blast and you're going to understand a little bit more. And I truly believe it is a gift that keeps on giving when you love Shakespeare. And now I'm going to reveal my future plans. I said this last week. I'm going to get people on. I'm going to try to keep that consistent. Like every week or so ago, like every number of weeks, I'm going to have like guests in a row. And then I'm going to have a podcast where I'm just by myself. Because that's how I work. I like being by myself and being able to express my thoughts alone. And having nobody else to bounce off of. I know that's not fun for the listener, but this is just for me. I'm not doing this for fame. I'm not doing this for anybody else but me. I mean, there are people I do promote it. I still want people to listen. It's just a place for me to vent and talk about my thoughts. So yeah. I think that's about it. Hello, my name is Michael Cox, and you're listening to Michael's Office, a place which hosts my unfiltered, unscripted, and genuine thoughts about things happening in the entertainment world today. This week, I'll be talking about a number of things, like the anonymous Oscar ballots coming out and what that could mean for the Oscars, the films I watched this week, and I'll be having a review for the Falcon and Winter Soldier series, and more. So make sure to stick around for that. And please, step into my office.